All right. Psalm 12, verse 1, Psalm chapter 12, and verse 1 is our theme verse for a series of messages. The Bible says here, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." And we've been looking at messages on faithfulness. And if you will, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And today we're going to preach on faithfulness, faithful men. Faithful men. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's go ahead and read verse 1 and 2. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So if we look at this, there is an expectation that in every church there are going to be men who are faithful men, who are godly men, who are men that will stand according to the Word of God, and they will be able to take the words of God that Timothy was going to be preaching to them, and they would be able to continue to pass that down through other people, taking it out, witnessing to people, taking it and passing it down to their families. Faithful men. Let's pray for the message this morning. God, I ask that you would help. Please help me to be able to preach this. I pray, Father, that you would help our men and our young men, that they would sit up and pay attention now to the Word of God. I pray that you would strengthen them this day. God, may this foundation be laid for every man in this room and every young man in this room to be faithful to you. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, would speak to hearts this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we look at this, faithful men. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, and we're going to go through to begin with several verses, and I'm laying a foundation here for the rest of the message. But Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says these words. Ephesians 1:1 says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." So he's speaking, and there is a group of at least some faithful people in the church of Ephesus. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1, or verse 2, it says, "To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So in these churches, there is an expectation that among the brethren, that is the saved people who have God as their Father, that there will be men who are faithful men. And I submit to you that it ought to be every man that is a faithful man. And every young man ought to be growing and striving to look toward becoming a faithful man. Let's look at a few examples. Ephesians 6:21. And again, to begin with here, we're just letting Scripture speak. Ephesians 6:21, we have a man, his name is Tychius. Ephesians 6:21 says this, "But that ye also may know my affairs, and how I do, Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things." In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, Colossians 4:7, "All my state shall Tychius declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord." 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. The Bible says, "And Tychius have I sent to Ephesus." And there's one more verse in the Bible about Tychius, but we look at this. Paul said he's a faithful brother. He was a brother who Paul trusted to send to work anywhere that needed the work of God needed done. He was a faithful man. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 4 through 8 and see another man. His name is Epaphras. Colossians 1, verse 4 through 8, the Bible says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus," he's talking to the church at Colossae. Paul did not start the church of Colossae. He heard about their faith, and he's writing to them to encourage them in their faith. But it says this, "And of the love which ye have to all the saints,
for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. These were saved people, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, bringeth forth fruit, as it does also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. So the gospel was preached to these people. They got the grace of God in truth. They accepted it. They received it. They became born again Christian people with God as their Father. Verse 7 says this, and ye also learned of Epaphras. He was their teacher. He was the one that was preaching it to them. Our dear fellow servant who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. So this is Epaphras. Now look at this, Colossians 4 and verse 12. Epaphras had gone to see, for some reason, which we don't have the information, the Apostle Paul. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayer, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So Epaphras has left the church of Colossae. He's gone to visit the Apostle Paul. He is speaking with the Apostle Paul. The assumption is that they're talking more about doctrine, more about these things. And Epaphras writes back to them and says, look, or Paul writes back to them saying, Epaphras is here. He's fervently praying for you. He wants you to be complete in the will of God. He wants you, church, to become also faithful men in the word of God. And then let's look at one more verse, Epaphras, Philemon chapter 1 and verse 23. Philemon, the only chapter, verse 23, it says, therefore... Now, Philemon was a man from the church of Colossae. As I've read through this, it seems to be at least the case. Philemon 1:23 says, therefore, there salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. So you see what happened? He was in Colossae working. He went to see Paul, and he got thrown in jail with Paul. This man was a faithful man, even to the point that he landed in jail for his faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at another one, Onesimus, Colossians 4:9. Colossians 4:9. There isn't much said in the Bible about these men. They're listed, they're named, they're claimed to be faithful men. There's a little bit given. And that shows that it's not about man. There's an expectation to be faithful. We aren't lifting up man. We are not raising man up on high because they were faithful. Jesus Christ is the one who's faithful. Jesus Christ is the one that's lifted up. But you can make note of a faithful man, and you can mention a faithful man, and a faithful man can be listed and have a testimony, and that's a great thing, and we need that. So Colossians chapter 4 and verse 9. Colossians 4, verse 9, the Bible says, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. Now that's why I'm saying Philemon was from the church of Colossae, because Onesimus was the servant that ran away from Philemon. And Onesimus was there from the church of Colossae. He says he was one of you, and now he's here with me. Now turn to Philemon chapter 1. Again, Philemon chapter 1, verse 10 through 13, as Paul writes to Philemon and says this, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and me. What happened to Onesimus? He got saved. See, before Philemon was having a struggle with him, he ran away from Philemon. Paul says, look, I know that he was unprofitable. Onesimus had given his testimony to the Apostle Paul and says, I was a worthless person to Philemon. But he says, now he's profitable both to you and to me. In which in times past, verse 11, was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Verse 12, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is my own bowels, whom I have retained, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. So Onesimus was now declared to be a faithful person. He got saved. Paul sent him back to Philemon. And he says, I would have loved to keep him here working with me, but it wasn't my decision to make. So I'm sending him back to you, and boy, treat him as a brother and treat him as my son in the faith. Onesimus became a faithful man. There's one more, 1 Peter 5:12, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12. And this man is Silvanus. It says, By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. So Silvanus here was called a faithful brother. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19. The Bible says in verse 19 and 20 here, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but was in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen unto the glory of God by us. So Silvanus was a faithful brother, and here Silvanus, he faithfully gave the word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1 also talks about Silvanus. As we look here, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 1 says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonica, and it was goes on. The one thing we see about these guys, they stayed faithful. There were people that went with Paul and quit. There were people that went with Paul and turned back and served this world. There were people, but these people, book after book, they're mentioned in the book of Corinth, they're mentioned in the book of Thessalonians. They were there through thick and thin with the Apostle Paul, Epaphras even going to jail with him. But there is a biblical pattern of churches having faithful men. It's something that ought to be. It's something that ought to take place. Now, let's look at what faithfulness is in a man. Turn to 3 John 1:5. 3 John 1:5. Say, well, what are we supposed to be faithful in? How are we supposed to be faithful? 3 John 1 and verse 5 says this, Beloved, thou doest faithfully, what's the next word? Whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. You know what we're seeing here? A faithful man is to be faithful whether they're dealing with Christians or whether they're dealing with non-Christians. A faithful man is to be faithful when he's dealing with his family and when he's dealing with people that aren't his family. A faithful man is to be faithful in the church and out of the church, and he's to be faithful in all things. He's not just faithful in Bible reading. He's faithful in Bible reading, he's faithful in his family, he's faithful in his job, he's faithful all the way through, because if you're only faithful here and you're not faithful here, then you're not faithful. You wouldn't even say, well, he's partially faithful. How do you be partially faithful? Is partially faithful faithful? Partially faithful can't be faithful. So you think about this, and we're going to go through some different areas. First of all, you need to be faithful to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11:3. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. And we're going to build now a foundation on men here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. The Bible says, For I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Now, how do you know what Christ wants you to do? You read the Bible. You open the Word of God, right? And every man, what does the Bible say? The head of every man is Christ. Every man needs to submit to the head. That means as men, we have the first opportunity and the first responsibility to submit to the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word. Then we look at it says, and the head of the woman is the man. But to be a proper head over a woman, I'm tired of this men standing around saying, I've got some authority over you, when they have not submitted to the authority that's over them. That's not correct. And a man who denies the authority of Christ will not have and not be able to properly deal with his wife. You must get the authority of Christ right first. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful." So God has stewards. Men, we are stewards of God. We are stewards of God's word in that the fact we will hold fast the faithful word. We are stewards over what God has given us. If you own a business, you're a steward over that business, and praise God that you have that opportunity. If you have a family, God has given you a family. Some of you are blessed with many children. Praise God for that. God has entrusted you. God has given to you a great stewardship, but it is required that a man be found faithful, that a steward be found faithful. Men, as we raise our children for the Lord, or rear is the proper word, rear our children for the Lord, we must be faithful in that. And we'll deal with that in just a minute. But we are, first of all, men, if we are going to be faithful in everything else, we have to get this. Our relationship with God has to be faithful. A faithful reading of the Word of God, a faithful time of prayer, a faithful relationship to the Lord. If we do not have our relationship with God the way it ought to be, nothing else can be the way it ought to be. It starts from the head and works its way down. But if we will be stewards and we will be faithful, God requires it. What does required mean? God demands it that we will be faithful. And so we take it. Jesus Christ gives the stewardship to man. Man then, it goes to the woman and down to the children in the family order of things. But it is the man that must start the thing out. It is the man that must have a relationship with God and be faithful to God and follow God's commandments and follow God's word. And God puts the first thing on the man. So men, we're going to go to the next step. We're to be faithful to the Lord. We need to be faithful to our wives. Faithful to our wives. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Whoa, I would never do that. Now let's build on this thing a little bit. We're to be faithful to our wives. When you step up to that platform and you make your vow to that woman, you are vowing that you will be with her and with her only in a physical relationship. And let me go beyond that, in a mental relationship. She's your only wife. She's your only woman. She's the only one for you. You're to be faithful to your wife. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Because I think a whole lot of men can stand and say, "Well, I'm faithful, I've never been with another woman." But Jesus Christ defines adultery a little bit closer. And he says this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." It still stands. "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out." Men, the responsibility is put on you to be faithful to your wife. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And if you stand around ogling another woman, you are not being faithful to your wife. You're committing adultery in your heart. And God says, it'd be better just take your eye and get rid of it if it's going to cause you to continue to fall. Man, if you stand around looking at obscene pictures, if you get the Sports Illustrated and look at the swimsuits, if you allow yourself to look and feed your eyes upon lusting after other women, whether it be pornography or whether it be what you would call partial pornography, you are committing adultery. You're not faithful to your wife. We need to be faithful. We need to keep our eyes in control. We have a responsibility to be faithful to our wives both in not committing adultery and not committing adultery with our eyes and our thoughts. This thing of faithfulness to our wives, it continues on. And let me say this, young man, you have the responsibility of being faithful to your wife. Dylan says, I don't have a wife. But some girl out there, unless you just don't get married, some girl out there is your wife to be, right? Lathan, right? Jake, young man, Dylan, Caleb, some girl out there. And these guys, they don't know who they're going to marry. I don't think. You don't got anybody lined up there, do you, Jake? Okay. No, not yet. They don't know who they're going to marry. But you think about it, guys. If you are not pure when you go to the marriage altar, have you really been faithful to your wife? You think about it. You think about living your life and determining right now, you know what? I'm going to be faithful to my wife before I ever see my wife, before I ever meet my wife, before I ever get to know my wife. I'm going to be faithful to my wife. Young man, you've got to determine that. And look at this. Young man, determine this. I am not going to ogle over women. I am not going to look at swimsuits. I am not going to look at pornography. I am not going to get involved in any of that because I'm going to be faithful to my wife with my eyes and my thoughts before I ever get my wife. And when I start meeting that girl and start to get to know that girl, I'm not going to think about her in a wrong way. I am going to go to the marriage altar and marry that young lady, having been faithful to her, even concerning her. We've got to get this. Young man, we've got to understand this. We've got to do this right. It's the Word of God. I don't care what society says. Let's go on and deal with a little bit different word here, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. As we deal there with the word adultery, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're dealing with the word fornication, which is all forms of immorality. Maybe it's not direct adultery, but it's immorality. And this immorality is also unfaithfulness to your wife or future wife. Let's see 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, and then 13 and 18. The Bible says in verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Verse 13 says, "Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." Verse 18 says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." God did not make your body to be used in wicked, sensual ways. Be faithful. Be faithful. Don't participate in anything. Don't participate in anything immoral, anything lewd, anything unclean. You know what? Don't participate in looking at it on television with your eyes. There's going to be a whole lot of lewd commercials on this thing called the Super Bowl tonight. And I hope that you all are in church, not out at the football church. It's an assembly. You have a choice where you're going to be tonight. You think about that. And I'll tell you what. There's going to be a whole lot of lewd, wicked, ungodly, filthy commercials. I don't think anybody ought to watch it. It's filth. Oh, a few minutes of football and filth, and a few minutes of football and filth, and a few minutes of football and filth. And you think about it, you know the most filthy commercials are on Super Bowl Sunday. We look at this verse 9 again. It says, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate." We've got a severe problem in our country. Effeminate is a man who acts like a female. Effeminate. A man who talks, walks, dresses, acts more girly than he should, effeminate. That is the Bible word. And then it says abusers of themselves with mankind. That is a man who is a homosexual. These things are clear. You say, do you need to say anything about this in church? Absolutely, it needs to be said. Why? Because this world is pushing it down people's throats. Brother Brown sent me an article this week. There are universities right now. They are setting up safe spots, and they are messaging against what they are calling toxic masculinity. Men, they are saying that your masculinity is toxic to our society. You think about that. They're teaching it in the universities, and here's what they're doing. They're setting up toxic masculinity safe spaces where there will be no masculinity. So men are going into these places, and they're being encouraged to go into these places with the women, and they're all sitting around in their pajamas and pink slippers. This is happening in universities. What are people paying for? It's not education, it's indoctrination. They say this. This was in the article. They said, well, masculinity is what's leading to the assaults on women. A man that's a real man is never going to touch a woman. A man that's a real man is going to be faithful to his wife. A man that is a masculine man will stand up and he will fight for the purity for any woman. A man that's a real man, if he sees a woman being attacked, he's going to step up and he's going to do his very best to defend her. It's perverts that attack people. They're not men. They're not masculine men. And they said in the same thing, 20% of these men interviewed are okay with wearing makeup. Washington State, a teacher of little kids, preschool, kindergarten age, she said, there's a problem. The boys go and play with Legos and the girls go and play with dolls. So she banned the boys from playing with Legos. She took the dolls away from the girls and said, you have to play with the Legos. The girls didn't want to play with the Legos. They wanted to play with the dolls. This woman is trying to force these girls to become manly and these boys to become effeminate. And it's going on all over. You know, our young people are being violated. Mostly, if you talk to people that know people that are homosexual, that are, whether it be female or male, a lot of times you go back and you talk to them, they have been violated in their childhood. Now I'm going to submit something to you. You know what? When a child sees an adulterous scene on television, they are being violated. Oh, they have not been physically touched, but they are being violated. Their minds are being violated. They're being warped in their minds. And they're being turned into this kind of stuff because when people are violated, it causes weird things to go on in their minds. And you think about these things, we've got to look at this. We need men that will be faithful to their wives, and we need men that will defend their wives. We need men that will honor their wives. And as the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, I think verse 7, it says, the wife is the weaker vessel, wherefore honor her, give her honor. She's to be put up here. You are going to provide for her. You are going to take care of her. It is your job to protect her. It is your job to make sure that her needs are met. That's a masculine man. We've got to get this. Faithful to our wives, we need to be faithful to provide for our families. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. The Bible says, but if any, provide not for his own house, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. If you deny the faith, are you faithful? No, you're not faithful if you deny the faith. And God says part of being faithful is you have a responsibility to your family. The responsibility is to provide for your family. Provision, most people think provision is physical. They've got food to eat. They've got a warm place to sleep. I've provided for my family. You're just barely scratching the surface. Just barely scratching the surface. Providing for your family, yes, it deals with the physical. Yes, your family needs to be clothed, fed. They need to have a warm place to sleep. Your family, it also deals with protection. And guess what? If we eliminate masculine men, where's the protection going to come from? I know all the television garbage where they have all the women and this woman in her petite frame fights off 10 men. That's nonsense. It's not true. Don't think that you can do that. Women weren't made to go to battle. They weren't designed by God that way. They need to be protected by a masculine man. We need our masculinity. Faithful to provide for the family physically. We need to be faithful to provide for the family spiritually. A man that provides physically and does not provide spiritually is not a faithful man. God says we're to provide for our family. If you are not teaching your children the Bible and teaching them Bible doctrines and reading to them and letting them know and growing them in the Lord and giving them the Word of God so that they come into adulthood and they know the Word of God and they ought to know it frontwards and backwards and inside out. They ought to be able to understand doctrine. They ought to be able to talk salvation. They ought to be able to talk about the Holy Spirit. They ought to be able to talk about marriage and divorce. They ought to be able to talk about Joseph and Moses and Joshua and David. They ought to be able to know these people and understand them and understand the principles of the Word of God. We have years to do that with, but it is our responsibility to provide for them spiritually. It is a responsibility like you feed them three times a day. They ought to be in church. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You're providing for them spiritually. You're the man. You're standing up. You're the one that says, guess what? We're going to church. Oh man, if you are laying in bed on a Sunday morning and the wife has to come and say, hey, come on, are we going to church? You've caused two things to happen. One, the wife has now had to step out of her following and she has now become the what? She just became the leader. You know what happens in that case? The man is insulted because of, oh, she's trying to be the leader. Well, man, if you would lead, she wouldn't have to. If the woman has to come and say, well, you know, are we going to read? Are we going to have family devotions? What happened? She just became the leader. What happens then? The man gets insulted. My wife's trying to be the leader. Well, man, if you would step up and lead, she wouldn't have to. Do you see it? And so therefore, then, you have caused the woman now to come out of her proper role. She's not in the right place and you're not in the right place. Is that going to be good for a family? Never. It's not going to be good for a family. It's not going to be right. It's not going to work. Everybody's got to be in their right role, but man, you've got to be the leader. You've got to provide physically, spiritually, in training. Proverbs 22:6 says, let's go ahead and turn there. I should be able to just rattle it off. Sometimes the mind gets going and it disappears. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go. Men, you have a responsibility to provide the training that is needed for your children. You provide that training. Men, you have an opportunity, you have an obligation to take your children and bring them from infancy to the marriage altar. They should be trained in purity. They should be trained in faithfulness to God. They should be trained to say no to their flesh. They should be trained in self-discipline. They should be trained in all of these things. And you have a responsibility to bring them from here to here pure. Here they are, a young man and a young lady standing. Both of them brought up in a Christian home. They're trained to deny themselves. I heard this week about a couple. I know both of them. I know both of their families. Their families have been in church for years and years and years, not this church. They both grew up in Christian homes. They both went to a Christian school. The pastor that told me about this situation said they lived for fun. Everything had to be fun. Fun, 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 fun. Schoolwork, that's boring. I've got to have fun. They didn't learn to deny themselves. They didn't learn to work. They didn't learn. Fun, 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 fun. Everything had to be fun. Everything was a game. Everything was a joke. They graduated from Christian school. In the time from graduation till the time they got married, the girl had more jobs than the pastor that mentioned it to me has had in his lifetime. Why? Here's what happens. You get a new job. What is it? Hey, this is interesting. This is fun. After a couple weeks, what does it become? Work. Guess what? Work is good. Work is fun. Work is right. Work is godly. It's a good thing to work. But kids that all they know is fun, 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 aren't going to understand, I get a job, I've got to stick with it. And so here's what happened. She went from job, oh, I quit that one. Oh, this job's fun. Fun. Oh, it's work now. I'll quit that one. This job's fun. And I don't know how many it went through. Oh, I'll tell you what, I met this boy and this is fun. And we're planning a wedding. Oh, what fun. And we're going to plan our honeymoon. Oh, what fun. Fun, 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 fun. They got married. Last week of August, roughly. November. She calls. I don't think I can teach at the Christian school anymore. Probably not a good example. We're separated. 3 months! 3 months! Well, after a couple weeks, we just didn't feel it anymore. I don't know about you. I'm still having fun. Loving your wife, being a man, providing for your family ought to be what you live for. It's a great thing. But guess what? The fun wears off. Now it's stability. It's still great. It's still good. Every day of it's good. Well, there may be a few bumps in the road where you have to hammer some things out. Everybody, any married couple in here hadn't had an argument? Guess what? I've had a few along the way. Divorce isn't an option. The word doesn't exist in our household other than to talk about it against it. It's not an option. When she's as mean as she can be to me. Just gotta love her anyway. You know what? Marriage is great. But if it's about you, it's not gonna be a right marriage. Your marriage, men, has to be about your family. You die to self. You live for God. You die to self. You live for your wife. You die to self. You live for your children. Train them up. Teach them right. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, really? Is this what Christianity has come to? Oh, and she's expecting a child. People, we have to, men, we have to be faithful. Women have to be faithful as well. We're working on men today. Colossians 3:22. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22. Colossians 3:22 says this, "Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." Man, we're also supposed to be faithful at our job, faithful at our work. You go there, you have a job to do, don't you piddle around and not do it. I get irritated sometimes. I've got people that come here to work on things occasionally and charge enormous amounts of money, and they're standing there talking with a coffee in their hand. I'm like, get to it! Get to it! You know who I'm talking about, right? It's unbelievable what people think is work today. We got a job to do. Let's be faithful to faithfully do the job that God has given us. You better be the best, the most faithful worker the company's got. You're a Christian. Be a faithful person. Let me say this. None of this is going to happen without God's help. We've got this thing in us. It's wicked flesh. We need God's help. If I don't walk with God every day, I'm not going to be faithful. I'm not going to be faithful to Him. I won't be faithful to my family. I won't be faithful in the proper rearing of my children. I won't be a faithful pastor. I won't be faithful to my work if I don't walk with God. It's Him. I can't do what I do without God. I've got to keep in the Word of God. My flesh is as wicked and weak as anybody else's. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God that trains us, that teaches us. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. So, first of all, there's a biblical pattern of churches having faithful men. Secondly, men are to be faithful in all they do. Thirdly, men are to be faithful till death. Revelation 2:10. Revelation 2:10. Be faithful if it kills you. "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death." Well, this was hard. So was prison. Well, this was hard. So was martyrdom. What we call hard today, compared to what took place in the past in Christianity, is unbelievable. It's hard to take a stand and tell that person not to cuss at work. Try dying. Try being tortured to death. I finished that book, by the way, on the Bible Makes Us Baptists, that tells the story of, it's a historically accurate, it's historical fiction. If anybody wants to borrow it and read it to their family, it is a worthy book. Worthy book. Can you imagine being buried alive because you believed in Jesus Christ and rejected infant baptism? Well, it's hard to take a stand. Yeah. Verse 13 says this, "I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth." What do we know about Antipas? Nothing. We know he died. We know that he held fast God's name. We know that he didn't deny the faith, and we know that he died for it. See, we aren't to lift up Antipas. Jesus Christ is our Savior. But Antipas was worthy of mention in the Word of God because he held fast the name of God, and he didn't deny the faith, and he died for it. That's faithful. That's faithful. I wonder, men, are we faithful? Young men, are we faithful today? Let's stand to our feet. God, I pray that you would help us to be faithful men. Father, help us.